The 400th Corn Belt Farm Hour is on the air. The Iowa Dairy Industry Commission, in cooperation with the American Dairy Association and in the interest of the nation's dairy farmers, again brings you the Corn Belt Farm Hour. There's a special significance in today's program. In addition to being our final farm broadcast of 1944, today's feature marks the 400th presentation of the Corn Belt Farm Hour, representing nearly 8 years of untiring effort on the part of WHO's Farm Service Director, Herb Plambeck. During these years, the Corn Belt Farm Hour has followed a rather general plan, bringing new ideas in agriculture, promoting worthwhile projects of interest to farm families, recognizing production jobs well done, honoring farm champions, and presenting countless interviews with interesting people. Today, however, we deviate from the usual pattern, presenting a tribute to all farm families for the magnificent wartime job just completed. But first, we call on Lucia and the Symphony for a special number entitled, I Don't Want to Love You.
I don't want to love you. Please don't let me care. This heart of mine is taking me nowhere. If I only knew there was a chance that you could feel the way I do, how different it would be. But I don't want to kiss you. Crazy as it seems, I'd just be getting deeper in my dreams. And if I'm not sure my dreams are your dreams too, then I don't want to love you like I do. But I don't want to kiss you. Crazy as it seems, I'd just be getting deeper in my dreams. And if I'm not sure my dreams are yours,
and now, before presenting today's special tribute, a brief message from our sponsor. Once again, we are on the threshold of a new year, and the war still goes on. There will be sorrow and many a heartache. There will be battles to be fought and won, final victory and a peace to come. And we can all look forward to the time when the boys come back, when families, united again, can gather around their fireside. Home, home in the good old USA. We can look forward to the America we knew, where the table will be set again, the American way, with meat and potatoes, with plenty of butter, golden delicious butter, to make bread taste better again, to use butter for this and for that just as much as we please. Yes, that is the America we knew. That is the America we shall know again. And now to our 400th Corn Belt Farm Hour feature, a dramatization prepared by the WHO Farm Program and Production Department. Farm Service Director Herb Plambeck will serve as narrator for The Farmer in 1944.
Our scene, a typical Midwestern farm home. Time, Christmas Eve, 1944. We find the mother of the family seated at the living room table. She's writing a letter to son Bill, who has been overseas for nearly a year. Dad is reading the farm section of the daily paper, while 16-year-old Mary and 12-year-old Jimmy are seated with Mom at the table. As Mother turns back the pages of a long year, her troubled thoughts are reflected in her message to Bill.
Oh, it's so hard to write. See how this sounds, Dad.
Yeah.
Dear son, here it is, Christmas again, and we all keep thinking how wonderful it was to have you with us last Christmas, even though your visit was short. It just seemed to make our holiday complete. But tonight we're lonely, as Mother knows you must be, so far away from home. Since we can't be together tomorrow, we want you to know our thoughts are with you every minute of the day. That's about all I can think of to say.
Oh, Mom, tell him something interesting, like about sporting me catching 4 rabbits today, and maybe about my calf eating like the dickens and weighing almost 500 pounds.
Jimmy, Bill's not interested in things like that now. Tell him how anxious his Ruthie is for him to come back, and about the new dress she bought so she could have her picture taken for him. Tell him about...
What were you going to say, Dan?
Oh, I was just going to suggest telling him about the good crops we've had around here this year, and about those fine hogs we marketed last week. Bill always was interested in the farm that way.
Sure, Dad. Shucks. Guess there's no reason why Mom can't tell him all those things, is there?
And so the letter was begun again. An interesting, full letter about the things Bill wanted to know. It told of the challenges this humble family had met, the obstacles overcome during the past 12 months. The first challenge had arisen shortly after Bill had sailed overseas. It was at the township AAA meeting that a weary group of neighbors, tired from long hours of hard, unceasing labor, were given their first challenge for the year ahead.
Folks, folks, come to order, please. Our county chairman is here tonight to tell us about this year's farm production. He says we've got to produce more. Frankly, I don't see how we can do it. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman. You tell the folks what we need.
Thanks, Judd. Your skepticism is understandable. But I'll try and explain. Friends, we're still at war, and our government needs more food. Last year, we asked for increased production. I wasn't sure it could be done, but it was done. Now we must increase some crops even more. Take corn, for instance. We need nearly 10% more. You can all figure out what that means on your own farm. It's the same with soybeans. We need more of them. Other crops can be about the same. And livestock, too. We still need more milk and more poultry. When it comes to hogs, though, we've got to ease up a little if we're going to make our feed supplies reach.
This, then, was the challenge, and each of the assembled farm neighbors wondered if he could again do the job, again match and surpass the mighty achievements of past years. Each knew his machinery was a year older. He knew it would be harder to hire extra help.
Gotta get that mower and hay loader fixed now. Yeah, help, that's it. Gotta get help. Maybe George can come over like last year. There. Sure is funny, George, how this daggone disc seems to hang on year after year.
Yeah, guess that's right. Sure is funny.
I've said that for 2 years now. Yet it's got to last through 1944. You know, George, when this war's over, I'm going to buy me a spanking new disbagash.
Me too. I got a machine about shot myself. There. Yep, just about shot. But if I can patch him up now, that it's too cold to do much chores, I figure we'll save us a lot of time this summer.
As my son Bill would say, you can say that again.
Say, when does your pig crop start coming?
Well, since we got the REA and lights in the hog house, we've been having pretty good luck with them in March. Early March, I mean. Got to start penning up some of the sows next week. Like they said at the meeting, government doesn't seem to want so many pigs this year. I don't know. I'm a little scared. I don't want to see anybody going hungry.
Yeah, I sure don't either.
And so the early part of the year was marked with much uncertainty. Various market gluts and ugly price disparities were encountered by hog producers, and the egg market took a turn for the worse. Mother, gathering the eggs one evening, had just reprimanded Dad for neglecting the chicken feeders that day. And Dad replied angrily,
"More feed? Why feed them at all? Got more eggs now we know what to do with. The store don't want them."
"Now, Dad."
"Why, only this morning, George told me the government was selling eggs to the feed processing plants for a nickel a case."
"Well, I don't care. So long as our Bill and the rest get what they need to eat. When I think about him over in those foreign places,
oh, I..." "Now, there, Ma, there. Shucks. I was only fooling."
Yes. That's the way Mom and all the other folks with sons or daughters in service felt. Problems, hardships, rationing, price differentials, all these home front inconveniences were unimportant so long as the boys over there got what they needed when they needed it. And there were problems. Because of bad weather, oats and other spring grains went in late. Then corn planting time and more rain. Oceans of it.
Oh, hang it all, won't it ever stop raining? We're 2 weeks late with the corn now. This cloud burst means more planting loss, more topsoil loss, and more work. Day and night, more work.
Yes, it's hard on the gardens and the chickens, too.
Golly, tomorrow's junior-senior dance is going to be all washed out. Don will never be able to drive through all this mud to get me now.
Not with that old jalopy of his, he won't.
Oh, phooey.
But what's really tough is that the game with Northville will be rained out again. And Jeff and I was getting a chance of playing the second, too.
Who's on second? No, Jim's on second. Who's on first? What's on third?
Oh, cut out the corny stuff, sis. You ain't funny.
Yes, everyone had their trials and tribulations, and things did look discouraging. Rain fell all through May, and despite tireless efforts, whenever soil conditions permitted, there was still a lot of corn to be planted early in June. Then on June 6th, primary election day in many Midwestern states, after a quick trip to the polls and after working very late, Dad and Mom were listening to Jack Shelley and Bob Burlingame giving the returns when suddenly Bobby Griffin cut in.
"We interrupt our election reports for a special bulletin from the WHO newsroom. A report has just come in that British and American troops have landed on the coast of France. I'll repeat that bulletin, ladies and gentlemen. A United Press report."
D-Day had come. Men were pouring ashore in Normandy, perhaps at a terrible cost in human lives. Bill and all his buddies were coming to grips with the Nazis. Weather was bad. The channel was the roughest in 40 years. But the Allies were establishing beachheads. And, like the magic of radio that brought news of our boys' progress, the spirits of the men under Eisenhower reached back home to every city, every town, every farm. Uncertainty and doubt were replaced by resolution, determination. Overnight, the farmer and his family became full-fledged soldiers of the soil. As the weather improved, they went to work harder than ever.